We go. Continuing with Hanukkah, I have a sefer written by Aryeh Pinchas Strickoff, who's a young man who lives in Queens, who wrote a sefer that's in English that's as close to 700 pages on Hanukkah. And my son gave it to me because he knows the fellow and it's a gift. And he says, he quotes the pasuk, "Minoyser kankanim nasa leif shoshoshanim," from the remainder of the flasks, a miracle right, was created for the roses. The roses are Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people. And he points out that Yom Tovim are not a mere commemoration of what happened. The fundamental goal, he says, in celebrating a yontif, whether it be from the Torah or the Rabbanon, is to internalize the messages that Chazal wanted us to know, that they learned from the Torah, and which, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave on Sinai. It is a means to take Klal Yisrael, give us spiritual growth, and therefore we become closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hanukkah, he says, was always seen to give Klal Yisrael new hope and new light, new insights. And it is a challenge that every Yid should begin to recognize how much potential oyer, light, we have within us, and how great our neshamas really are. He talks about the very well-known concept of a pintala Yid, the little Yid, the pure, untouched spark in every Jewish person, which he says is a ner tamid. It's an everlasting light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never allows to become extinguished. Hanukkah, he says, tells us that the pintala Yid can always be accessed and we can grow with it. And we're told over the years many stories about people who were far from Torah and mitzvot, and somehow something sparked them and it brought them back. Some from the most unusual of places. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that it only takes a little bit of oyer, a little bit of light, symbolized by one candle, which is all we need to light, technically on Hanukkah, each night. And we know that when we bring a candle into a dark room, the light permeates way beyond the area immediately where the candle is, but it gives light in other sections. And he says that's what it is. He says the Yevanim, the Greeks, were led by Alexander the Great, and he was the general who conquered the entire world. And we know the famous story that when he came to Eretz Yisroel, the question was, how was he going to treat the Jewish people? And Shimon HaTzadik, the Kohen Gadol, came out in his big day kahuna, and for the first time ever, Alexander the Great bowed down to the Kohen Gadol, and his generals, they were dismayed. "What are you doing?" they said. And he told them, "No, you don't understand." He says, "Every time I go to battle and I'm successful, this person's picture appears to me, I know that he is the essence of Kedusha. And so he treated Klal Yisrael very well, and we know the reason why we have the name Alexander as a Yiddish name is because the Jewish people said, we're going to give kovod to Alexander the Great by making his name popular and used for the children, those who will carry the Torah forward. Yavan, Greece, became the greatest intellectual force, right? Greek culture, philosophy. And they wanted the entire world to accept this ideology. And they opened it. In other words, there was nobody who, if they accepted the Greek way of life, would be rejected. It was the ideal situation for assimilation, and unfortunately, tremendous numbers of Jews became Misyavnim, Hellenists. They adopted the Greek way of life, and it was getting to the stage where the ones who were remaining loyal to Torah almost felt there could be a danger of the extinction of Klal Yisrael. And Rabbi Stick, I don't know if he's a rabbi, but he writes from Chazal that devastatingly, the Yidden began to lose hope. Even those who were firm in their belief began to believe that maybe Klal Yisrael was totally unworthy of ever restoring a wonderful, exciting relationship with the Rabboni Shel Olam. In this background, we know the Yavanim had all these rules preventing most of the aspects of Judaism. And only after, I guess, they got to an exceedingly low point, Matisyahu Kohen Gadol and his children said, Ad kach, we can't anymore. We've got to fight for a Kaddish Baruch, and we know that the Maccabee is Mila Shem Eli, right? Or Mika Moicha Bekelim Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught them, when they started to make a bit of hishtadlus, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam did not desert them. He never deserts Klal Yisroel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took this small remnant of Torah scholars. There were no generals in this army. There were no professional soldiers. The people that fought the Misyavnim to bring back Yahadus were Talmidei Chachamim. They were as far from warriors as most of us, or maybe even further away. And yet, this was the Chanukas Habayis. This was the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash and the reestablishment of Torah Yahadus in Eretz Yisroel. He quotes the pasuk, Hashem oiri v'yishi, and kavei el Hashem chazak v'yameit libecha kavei el Hashem. Hashem is my light and my salvation. Hope to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Strengthen yourself, and he will give you courage. Rav Ephraim Vachsman, Rosh Yeshiva, says that hopelessness is the greatest danger to Yahadus. Hopelessness leads to despair, which can be worse than sinning. It plunges Chloe Israel into a darkness that they feel they almost can't move. He quotes the Yismach Moshe, and I've never seen this till I read it, who says that we always say that the Dor HaMabul, the generation of the flood, didn't heed Noach. You know, they were too interested in a good time. And the Yismach Moshe says no. What happened was they had a realization. Yes, they had acted in terrible ways. They had become depraved. But only at a certain point did they give up. At a certain point, they said, there's no hope for us. We may as well continue in this erroneous way because we can never get back to a relationship with God. He says, had this generation believed that they could come back, Hashem would not have destroyed everyone but Noach. The Kotzker Rebbe says, we know the halacha, when it's in Bava Metzia, that someone who loses a lost object and gives up hope renders that object available to somebody else. And the Rebbe says, it's because he gave up hope. He says, what we must learn is that a Yid is never allowed, should give up hope. The miracle of Chanukah says that despite being on the brink of despair, the Chashmonaim said no and they became triumphant. Right? We know they should have never found a cruse of oil with the Kohen Gadol seal in the Beis HaMikdash. We know it should have never burned more than one day, and they should have been dismayed that they're going to light their new menorah for one day, and they're going to have to wait another week till they can do it again. But they said, no, we're a mitzvah that's in our hands we're going to do, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, blessed their hishtadlus with an eight-day illumination. And this was, we're told, the powerful symbolism to Klal Yisroel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, make a little bit of effort and watch. Make sincere effort. There's a saying, Pischoli Fesach, Kichudoy shel machad, va'ani aftach lachem pesach, kepischoy shel ulam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisroel, every Yid, open for me, the Rabbeinu shel Olam, an opening as small as the point of a needle. Move a little bit, start, and I will open for you an opening, an opportunity as wide as the entrance to the great hall in the Beis HaMikdash that stood outside the Kodshei Kodshim. And the Gemara says, Haboli Taiher Messiah say. The Gemara in Yuma says, if somebody comes to become purified, to become better, he gets siyata d'shmaya. He quotes Rav Chaim Stein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, tells the Rosh Yeshiva, who tells about a Chanukah experience that occurred when the people who escaped the massacre at Tel's Yeshiva started traveling, and they were in Asia. And there were a group of 16 B'nai Torah, I guess, and Rav Chaim Stein. I don't know if he was a Rosh Yeshiva yet or not. And he said, the only reason they could continue was their continued devotion to do mitzvot, the desire to do them. That's what gave them the simcha and the inspiration to carry on. When they had Shmini Atzeres, wherever they were, they had candles. And they saved wax because they knew Hanukkah was coming. And it says they were on a freight train near Siberia, and they could light the first Hanukkah candle. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the wisdom that on the other nights after the first, they were able to create candles using the grease that they took off the wheels of the train's locomotive when it made stops. And they would thread whatever clothes they were wearing to make wicks. This was good until Friday night. Moitzoi Shabbos, as happens in that area, there was a tremendous, tremendous snowstorm and great, great frost. And the wheel grease was unavailable. There would be no way to light a Hanukkah candle. They were disappointed, but they said, if we can't light a Hanukkah candle, let us at least learn with more fervor. We'll use the light of the Torah. And he says, as they learned through the night, they would nod off because they hadn't slept. And eventually he says, Harav Baruch Baron, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, was the only one learning into the early hours in the morning. And then something totally unusual happened. A burly Russian man knocked on the train door, the car they were in, and he said, does anybody need candles? The Rosh Yeshiva was awake, and Rav Baron were shocked. This had never happened before. There had never been an ordinary person peddling candles near the train in the dead of winter. And the only thing he had, he told them, was candles. The Rosh Yeshiva said this was obviously a nes. They quickly bartered whatever they had to obtain enough candles for the rest of Hanukkah. They lit, I guess, one candle, which is the main mitzvah, and they had a tremendous simcha and hoidah, giving praise to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When finishing the story, the Rosh Yeshiva said, I don't think this was a nace. Which he meant, it was not a miracle in the conventional supernatural sense. It was what we call coincidence, or the nace you don't expect disguised in humanly form. But he said, somehow Hashgacha Pratis made this happen. When the author of the Sefer was writing it, and he spoke to the Rosh Yeshiva and Tells, and he said he wanted to contain this Sefer, the Rebbe said, I don't know if that Russian man was Eliyahu HaNavi. I don't know. He didn't say it wasn't. But he said, I do know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to us in our despair that what you're doing now finds great favor in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. He said, when people want to do a mitzvah, b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, with devotion, Hashem helps. The nace was to show that if a person makes efforts to do a mitzvah, doing as much as possible, somehow the desire to do the mitzvah can create the ability to do it. We're told, I believe it's in the Teichacha, that when we get to Golos, Vikashtem Misham Es Hashem Eloikecha Umatzasa Kisidrishana B'chol Nafshecha, when you're in Golos and you make the determination to seek the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, to find him, and you make an effort with all your heart and all your soul, the true devotional effort, Hashem will illuminate. And Hashem has given us the Neiros Chanukah, which he says we should be able to feel this power of emunah and potential. And he says, that is why we look at when the Rambam talks about Ner Chanukah, he says, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chiviva Hi Ad Me'oid. He says that the Mitzvah Chanukah is a mitzvah that he recognized is beloved to the greatest and the most tremendous extent. The author of the Sefer says every year, he says, I'm taken aback that the simplicity of Chanukah's mitzvah. We take a candle and we light it. It's no different than lighting a birthday candle, isn't it? But he says he likes to sit in the glow of the candle and project that this is a replication of what happened with the Maccabees in the Beis HaMikdash. He says, somehow, if I give it kavana, I can be transported back. This means of a receptacle, our menorah, a candle and a light, simple things, can be used to tremendously reawaken our souls. We're told that during Chanukah, there's a special Siyata Dishmaya for learning, because we know that the concept of Or is Torah. He says, centuries, nations, cultures, technologies have come and gone. Right? Where are the Romans? Where are the Greeks? Where are the Mesopotamians? Where are the Tzidukim? Where are all these people? They're not here. Or Chanukah is here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the message. And he says, Acha Shoalti Me'eis Hashem. We say this in David Hashem Oiri. David HaMelech said, I am asking one thing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is what I am seeking. Shifti Beveiz Hashem Ko Yemei Chayoi. May I dwell in the house of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam all my days. Lachzois Benoyam Hashem. to behold the sweetness of the Rabbeinu Shalom ulevaker heicholoi, and to contemplate the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech did not spend every day in the physical house of Hashem. He went to wars. He had to do other things. There were mundane tasks as a king, but he always had this prime devotion to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and to what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wanted. And he says, because of that, and because of this type of commitment to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, which came through our Gedolim, our kings, our Nevi'im, and everyone else, and was transmitted down, he says, even to our Bubbas and Zetas, because we can't even imagine the level of their Kedusha. He says, this is what we have. And Hanukkah, if we look at the lights and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lighting up the world, he says, it will be a great tzchus for Klal Yisroel. And we all know that, especially today, with all that's going on in Eretz Yisroel, and the vile anti-Semitism in this world, we could definitely use a great dosage of the aura from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to inspire us and to make this world a better place. Okay.